Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the intersection of race, social justice, and American sports as San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick continues his national anthem protest. My guests are Dr. Greg Carr, chair of Howard University's Department of Afro-American Studies, and David Steele, NFL writer and author of the book Silent Gesture, the autobiography of Tommy Smith. We are still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. William, calling from Waldorf. What's on your mind, William?
Good evening, everyone.
How are you?
Good. Like to say, Wingapo. I'm a retired military veteran of approximately 26 years. Army and Air Force. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And what Colin Kaepernick decided to make a stance on, I agree with him. I mean, our military has been put into wars that are unjust. We invaded Iraq under the premise of, okay, major weapons of mass destruction. They come back and say, no, there aren't any there. We have tens of thousands of veterans who are now maimed for life. A lot of it has been killed. There are relevant issues here that are not being addressed. I'm an indigenous American.
William, let me ask you, as a military veteran, let me not put too fine a point on it. As an American military veteran that has spent a large portion of his life saluting the flag, God and country, leave no man or woman behind. Are you at all conflicted when you are watching what Colin Kaepernick is doing?
No, I'm not. Because, again, what he's the stance that he's taking on is, yes, okay, the flag, okay, our military should be honored and should be used in a properly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I support our military, but our military, there are things that we have to follow orders. We're not allowed to, we can't speak freely on everything. But like I said, when he took a stance on, okay, as far as indigenous Americans, black and brown, being oppressed mm-hmm. by, okay, the police, and we have, okay, the government, local, state, and federal, just standing there, no accountability. Pushing the buck.
Okay. I just wanted to find out what your thought was as a veteran as well. So I appreciate you sharing with us. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kenny, calling from Maryland. What do you think, Kenny? Kenny, are you there?
Yes. I didn't know you said.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I'm a truck driver, so I have a comment to make. Well, my first comment is, why is the people, we can never stand unified behind one another on an issue? We always have this 3% that can't agree. 4% don't want to say anything. And it's just like the gentleman, I'm a truck driver. I was asleep last night. I wake up today, I hear about Rodney Harrison saying he's not black enough. It didn't have to be a black man or a white man. What he said is true. His views are true. The wheels of justice are not equal for us. We've been ice skating uphill a large majority of our life, but yet we're so passive. Why do we always have to be so forgiving and so passive and not speak out? We have to walk softly, and we still can't carry a big stick.
Wow. Kenny, thank you so much. I appreciate your input. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk a little bit about what this says, for example, about the National Football League. There is no sport in the United States which brings in more money and is more popular. So with that said, what impact, if any, do you think this is going to have, David, on viewership? Do you think folks are going to be glued and switching their satellite channels looking now for Colin Kaepernick?
You know, the funny thing is that there are the people who are so vehemently and vocally opposed to this are saying, I'll never watch another football game again. I'll never watch another game again. this is America's biggest addiction.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I mean, if you they would literally need to go to rehab to get off of the NFL, you know, addiction that they have. They're going to keep watching. They have watched the NFL through some of the worst stuff I've ever seen. Pete, guys are literally getting killed playing this game, you know, beating women, you know, just the things that are going on in this league right now in terms of just the wider scope. And all of society is looking at this, too. And yet it's still it's still so powerful in terms of the finance that's generating and the attention that it gets. I mean, again, I don't think there's a better sport for an athlete if he wants to use to take a platform and take advantage of his platform. There's no better sport than the NFL. And I think that if he wants to use, you know, patriotism and the flag and the anthem and everything, that you would have to use the NFL as well, because no league has attached itself to patriotism and the flag. I mean, look at whatever game is being played this weekend. Look at the size of the flag that they're going to unroll out on the field before the game. It's going to be bigger than the ones they have at the inauguration next year.
That's right.
It's crazy. So that's how big the NFL is. And so if you use that to affect social change, then you've got an audience that's almost untouchable.
Have we seen a shift, Dr. Carr, in the way that professional sports are now dealing with this? Are they, you could say money has a lot to do with it, but are attitudes in the front office perhaps changing, because we are seeing perhaps people that have been forced to see what is happening in America?
I would say no as a matter of belief. I would say absolutely agree with Dave. Yes, as a matter of dollars. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's interesting. It's funny. I'm looking at this tweet after Rodney Harrison came with all his foolishness. Somebody said the All Lives Matter All-Stars had plenty of offensive firepower with Breeze, Rice, and Barber. Rodney Harrison gives them some needed defense. So, I mean, at this point, black people are tired of it. You're a clown. Shut up. And I think what happened, as you mentioned, with the Clippers thing, mm-hmm. these cats got very nervous when you see LeBron James and them breaking league policy, wearing shirts. And they said, hold on now. If we don't hurry up and get this obvious racist out the league. This is Mark, the owner of the Mavericks, right? Mark Cuban. Right. If we don't get this obvious racist out the league, they may turn this into something else. Then when you see Maya Moore and her colleagues make this stand up there in Minnesota, St. Paul, the WNBA, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the NBA, comes down on them. These off-duty cops say they're not going to guard them. And then the backlash, they say, well, we're not going to suspend it. Remember, the only reason WNBA exists is because the NBA put down the ABL, which yes. is a players' own partially league. And so the NBA is very nervous. Now this comes along. Man, this thing could become ungovernable. In other words, no, not one heart has changed. Drew Brees, what a clown, represents the attitude of these white males. But guess what? You suiting up with your pads. You stand here next to me. You blocking for me. We winning. But all this we're the same team nonsense is going out the road. These black men are saying, you know what, whatever. There may be some fist fights break out in the NFL and in training camps and even in the regular season. This thing could blow up, man.
Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. George, calling from Rockville. What's on your mind, George?
Yeah, you know what? I agree with very little that your guest just said.
Okay.
In my opinion, the biggest problem black people face in 2016 is other black people. I got family who live down in the Southeast. Their biggest concern, the biggest danger they face on a day-in, day-out basis, comes not from police, comes from other black people. We just had four people stabbed in D.C. overnight. Now, you know, Colin Kaepernick, he stands up and he's talking about racism and so forth. I'd like to see him stand up when black people are getting killed by other black people. Don't just concentrate. Don't just get inflamed when the shooter is a cop.
Mm-hmm. You make an interesting point, George.
Well, what's his point?
Well,
I just need to understand the point.
Well, George, you tell me. I'm not going to speak for George.
If you didn't understand it.
Yeah. Wait, brother. Wait a minute. Before you walk me through it, brother, I hope you will put it in some historical context, because I guess black people are just genetically different or somehow just animals, because we're killing each other, right?
It's about making excuses.
No. What's the reason for it? Tell me the reason. We just hate each other, right?
That was 150 years ago.
George, who taught you to hate yourself, brother? George, who taught you to hate yourself, brother?
I don't hate myself. myself?
Well, clearly somebody black must hate somebody because they're all your relatives getting attacked in Southeast, brother. They must just hate you.
Hold the same opinion as you, and if I don't, that means I hate myself. Is that what you're saying?
George, I love you, brother, but why do black people hate your family so much in Southeast?
George, let me say this, George, because I think that you're not quite understanding what Kaepernick is saying, and I've often used this analogy. Just because somebody supports breast cancer doesn't necessarily mean that they do not have empathy for those who have lung cancer. He's just picking a topic. And so, you know, we can't necessarily say that he is not against, you know, the so-called black on black crime, but this is an issue that is near and dear to him. And I would imagine that there are probably other athletes who would say what you were saying without criticizing Kaepernick. But that's just my thought.
But, you know,
I need to take a break. I need to go to another phone call, 202-301-7810, 202-301-7810. Joel, calling from Waldorf. What's on your mind?
Yes. My whole thing is I look at it from a different point of view.
What's that?
I look at it from a point of view as where it's Kaepernick doing something that a poor man like me, if I was to do it, it wouldn't matter. A man like him is in the NFL as a football player is standing for what he feels is right. It matters. And basically what he's saying is it's not just a black or white thing. It's for all people. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you know, when we was in elementary school, on through school, we said our pledge of allegiance and all of this. And what he's basically saying to me is, no matter, it doesn't matter, because you look at the people that's poor that's going through the same thing, and the ones that's rich is living fairly well and don't give a damn. So that's how I look at it, you know. So
okay.
You know,
Joel, thank you so much for sharing. Dave, you wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, well, first of all, if we can go back to the original to the call a little while ago, if he thinks that people are getting killed in the Southeast and they want to call the police and they cannot trust the police to come in there and help them, instead the police are going to kill them, why would that not bother you? Why is that not a problem for you? Why are we not entitled to police protection and the rights that we were born with? That we somehow have to negotiate that, oh, before the police can treat you right, you have to treat each other right. Name one other group of people anywhere in this world that has to meet those conditions before the police will come and protect them. So right. There's that. But also the last caller just now. It's well, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you, but go on ahead.
No, help yourself. Please. Help yourself.
because that's the thing. See, well, one of the things that we talked about, one of the things that sort of circles this whole issue is the number of issues that people bring up to distract us from Colin Kaepernick's point, which is, you know, the oppression of people. Now, one of the things that we're always told when we start protesting, you know, up in Baltimore and in Ferguson and Milwaukee and all these places, is be peaceful, be nonviolent, be, you know, don't stir it up, don't get too angry. And these are a bunch of poor people like the ones in Southeast and like in all these other cities. Nobody cares what they think.
That's right.
Colin Kaepernick, everybody, a whole lot of people know who he is. They know what the NFL is. They know who the San Francisco 49ers. He's the quarterback. He was a quarterback in the Super Bowl just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. If you're not listening to him, then you're not listening to anybody, and you no longer have the right to tell us you will have to do X, Y, and Z before we listen to you, because they've now done it.
And arguably, it is a smart thing to do, because he is, if not using the platform of an NFL quarterback, he is using the platform of the NFL to get the message out, which goes back to that point that I just made, which is a great point. How much pink do you see during the NFL? Again, using the platform to raise awareness about a very, very, very important issue, breast cancer. The NFL is doing the same thing for a great cause that Colin Kaepernick is doing for arguably a controversial cause. Message is still getting out. We're going to take a break. Tony from Columbia, David from Clinton, stay with us. We'll talk to you next. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue to talk about the intersection of race, social justice, and American sports as San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick continues his national anthem protest. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tony from Columbia, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
I think he didn't do anything wrong. He's just standing up for his beliefs. He didn't break no laws. He didn't break any rules in the NFL. And he's just doing what he believes in. It was an NBA ball player that was Muslim that was praying during the national anthem. And I think after that, the NBA blackballed him.
Yeah.
But he also was a courageous guy.
That's what we were talking about. And Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. People, like I say, he played with Shaquille O'Neal at LSU, Chris Jackson. Those boys almost won the national championship. They were very competitive. But then when he came, he prayed. All he did was pray.
All he did was pray during the thing. And you, I'm so glad you made the point about Carlos Delgado, too.
Yeah.
People, that's something that just sort of gets swept away. Sure. They sort of kept on the low. But that was bold.
But to your point, though, Dave, I mean, this is the NFL. I mean, you having written about, you know, obviously even Tommy Smith, how could they come out against this guy now? Because he's not a starter. He's borderline. If he gets cut, does he get picked up by another team? I mean, because you see, obviously what they did to Smith, man, and Carlos, them guys, man, some ways never recovered. I mean, what could happen to him now? What could happen to Kaepernick?
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's the risk that he's seriously taking, is that they're gonna come up with a reason not to. There's a whole bunch of scrub quarterbacks in this league.
No question.
As we know, there's a few right here in this town. That's another show, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But they will take them. Over, they will go after him over him because it's like they don't want the distraction. They don't want the problem. They don't want all the questions. That's going to work against him. And, you know, if he's strong enough to deal with that, then more power to him.
Let's talk to David calling from Clinton. David, what's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, everyone.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm excellent. Very, very good topic this evening. And I'm in agreement with a lot of guys that just came, people that came on the phone and spoke. And my thing is, it goes back to that mentality of people of color don't have rights. They're violating his right. They're telling him when he should protest. This is not a good time to protest. That was an awkward platform to use. It was a perfect platform for him. He felt that was right. What they're basically saying, it goes back to the boy mentality. We tell you, when we say stand, you stand. We tell you to sit. We tell you to eat. We tell you to go on the field and play football. He right now, he's putting all that behind him, and he's speaking out. And I think that should be recognized at this time. He's not worried about the after effects, what's coming, the consequences that he's going to pay. And he needs more support behind him at this time.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. I think about the individual franchises. And, you know, if you look in, you know, it's this HBO Hard Knocks series, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm from Nashville, so I remember Jeff Fisher when he was with the Titans. He gave a locker room speech where he said, we take this very seriously. We line up. We respect the flag. We respect the red. This was one of the Hard Knocks a couple of weeks ago. I'm wondering, could individual franchises take different stances on this since the NFL doesn't have a policy? Because I can imagine that Jeff Fisher trying to suspend somebody behind
this. I would imagine, and certainly, you know, tell me what you think about this, Dave, because the NFL does not own the teams. The owners own the teams.
Yeah.
And you could argue that each team's personality is, you know, is led by who owns them.
Yeah, it's 32 individual businesses led by 32 individual corporations. They literally can set their own policy if they wanted to. The question is, will they? I think there's an excellent chance that they might.
Go ahead, Dave, right. Real quick.
No, real quick. If my thing is, have there been a person not of a color, would this be going on as it's going on? Is it because it's a person of color? Had it been a Caucasian?
Tom Brady Tom Brady at some point is going to be either the governor of Massachusetts or a senator from Massachusetts. If he hadn't stood up, they may be giving him a medal today, man.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm
thinking
saying.
About. It. Yes, it's an interesting question.
Yeah,
how much would that change things? How much?
Dave, thank you
how
so much.
How much, indeed.
Let's talk for a minute about the power of one player. Let's take LeBron James right now. He is the most popular, the most powerful player in the NBA, and he literally could do anything socially, as he has done in the past, that would bring a seismic shift to the league.
I don't know, Harold. I would say arguably, in terms of the aesthetic of it.
Why do you say that?
Steph Curry might be more powerful. For example, I'm thinking about what if LeBron James. No, I'm saying what if I'm just thinking in terms of this particular issue. If LeBron doesn't stand, he's the villain anyway. This big black dude, Steph Curry is the good black. If Steph Curry doesn't stand, then it becomes a lot more ambiguous. It seems to me. I'm just saying they can pigeonhole LeBron. I mean, he's the kind of guy who has this black guy, man. He had that shirt on anyway with John Crawford there. But Steph, I wonder, I don't know, would you think that would make a difference depending on who?
Let's not even talk about the names. Just any powerful.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Any powerful.
If you take somebody who you know is powerful for whatever the reasons are, whether it's powerful within the public or the league or among the fans, it's hard to get that whole combination at one time. Probably, again, the last guy I probably had was Michael. And Michael made a very conscious choice not to use it. So we're really in uncharted territory. We've seen bits and pieces. We've seen LeBron do a little of this, but not necessarily do a little bit of that. And we saw, you know, Blake Griffin was sort of on the front lines of all that stuff with the Clippers. And Donald Sterling, I mean, if it was somebody like Steph, he's sort of the, you know, and it's weird because there's always that aesthetic going on. It's
right.
Like who's acceptable and who's not.
That's
who's
right.
Who's mainstream, who's crossover.
That's right.
You know, who, quote unquote, transcends race. Even I've hated that term for years, but
that's
what it is.
No question.
You know, if that person chose that they're going to speak for us collectively and made the stand that Colin Kaepernick did, you know. That could shake things right down to its very foundation.
And they ignore what they want. I mean, you know, you wrote about 68. How many other athletes at that Olympics engaged in protests, including some white athletes, including right there on the platform with Smith and Carlos, right? They just hairbrushed them.
Mm-hmm. They did. Yeah, the Harvard rowing team were the biggest supporters on the U.S. Olympic team of Tommy Smith and John Carlos. And their biggest opponent was Jesse Owens.
Right. And the Young Bucks cussed Jesse Owens out.
Yes,
in fact, when he wrote his autobiography, he said, "I have changed, man." They broke him down to tears, man.
Now, speaking, and you can certainly speak to this, Dave, it's my understanding that the silver medal winner on the podium in 68 also protested. He was
an
Australian.
Yes, he did. Peter Norman. He was a silver medalist. He was from Australia, and he wore an Olympic Project for Human Rights button on his jacket during the ceremony. And he never heard the end of it from people back in Australia.
Wow.
And yeah, Australian society, you think it's bad here.
Yeah, they wiped them out. They wiped the Aboriginals
exactly.
out. Tasmanians, y'all were gonna kill all y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk, for the sake of argument, let us say that Colin Kaepernick gets his chance to go from second string or third string or wherever he is to start. And he, you know, has a string of successes and takes San Francisco to the playoffs. Considering this current social justice issue with him, does he get endorsements? Do the money men and money women that are, you know, that are the Nikes, the Under Armours, does he get to stand in front of a TV and twirl his football? And
maybe, but maybe not during his active playing career. Maybe like Ali, 50 years from now, he is safely dead. He will be a Nike icon for being different. I mean, but not while he's, I can't imagine. Oh, well, he might get some endorsements in his next league, the CFL. I'm just saying if he doesn't, well, that way, because I'm saying if they cut him, he could be big in Canada. I mean, and that's the history of the relationship between Canada and the United States. You see black people often embraced in part as a thumb in the eye of the states, but I can't see, I don't know, does he get, I don't think he gets endorsements here.
It's,
not for me.
Well,
if he did exceptionally well.
No, even
look at it this way: a guy who's pretty much inoffensive, you know, but who was the league MVP and took his team to the Super Bowl. How, you know, people were just killing Cam Newton all year long last year, and are still doing it. I mean, never mind that whole Super Bowl press conference thing. Leading up to that, he was just getting buried, and he was the best player in the biggest league in the world had the best team. They went to the Super Bowl. And it was like a day would not go by when he was not getting harassed by somebody over something.
Even his commercials downplay. Even the little white boy, I'm your mom's favorite team. Wow. Who wrote that line? I'm saying, you're right. You're right. He's never. Yeah, he should have cashed in.
Let the little kid be the star of his commercial.
Of his commercial. That's a Morgan Freeman move, brother. I said, wow, Cam. You going?
So here's my question, because I only have about 2 minutes left. I said in the beginning that Colin Kaepernick is just the next chapter in this story of this historic story of athletes protesting, you know, social issues. Is there another issue that will be groundbreaking? We've already had the first gay player, even though he did not perform well and was eventually cut. But, you know, what is the next issue? Is it a transgender player? What could it possibly be?
Michael Sam just found out he was black when he broke up. You know, this thing happened earlier this summer. If this thing takes its arc, you may see another group like this, you know, kind of back to protest. But at this point, it's not going to move from race, I don't think. I think this thing is far from playing out. Because if these young boys get it in their mind that they're going to do this, then, you know, they know each other. And, you know, partially because of these endorsement deals, Nike, Under Armour, these guys work in the same houses. So who knows? Who is it? Somebody from baseball? Is it one of these young cats that hangs with Colin Kaepernick on the weekends? Maybe another frat bro? If this thing goes viral beyond football to other sports, they won't be able to control it. And at that point, they get extremely nervous. And then you might see, to go back to your earlier point, Harold, then you might see some concessions that they wouldn't have even discussed.
Mm-hmm. And if I do one real quick thing, it doesn't necessarily have to be the national anthem next time. It could be something we don't even expect during a touchdown celebration. It could be something other than that when nobody's looking, because nobody saw this coming. Mm-hmm. So they could be a step ahead of everybody who's going to be worried about whether he's at attention. They're going to have to worry about something else. So I think we are on the cusp of something, but it's hard to see what exactly that's going to be.
I'll let you look in your crystal ball. Dr. Greg Carr, David Steele, thank you both so much. I always learn something. Dr. Carr, when you're here, and today is not an exception. Thank you again. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, August 30th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher at whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher, WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.